ESPN 97.5, KFNC 97.9, HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Astros lost 2-0 to the Chicago White Sox yesterday. That's really all we have to say. If you want us to break it down, no. If you want us to talk about other things. But maybe this is something worth discussing for a moment. Joe, in our pre-show notes, you are tired of hearing this message coming out of the Houston Astros.
No, I don't want to hear any more about buyers. Getting two starters, buying at the deadline, not selling. I want Dana Brown to give a different answer the next time he's asked. Next time he's asked about the deadline, I want him just to be more honest. And just say, like, hey, like, we have a lot of season to go before we have to really make that decision. But right now, everything and anything is on the table. Because that should be the truth. I'm tired of this. They're just...
You have to wait.
They're
but
telling
I agree.
Us, the sky is blue and they're telling us it's red. And we all know the sky is blue. Like, we all know that they're not a good baseball team. And they probably are going to be sellers at the trade deadline. And I don't want to hear it anymore. I'm tired of the PR spin that they're trying to put out there that it's all good. It's just fraudulent. And it's just annoying because you don't have to. I know he does not have all the answers. I know it's not all his fault. I know that, like, Jose Abreu is not his fault. But you don't have to try to make it seem like everything is sunshine and rainbows when it's just not.
That's his nature, and it's perhaps encouraged by the Astros. That might be Jim Crane telling him, hey, we want people to still come to the games. We want the gate sales to be up, even though it's expensive. We want to be able to build our Astros world in downtown.
Good luck with that.
We'll see if that happens. Between the payroll and, I would imagine, less people going to the games this year and in the near future. If you gave Dana Brown truth serum, Joe, do you think that he would say we should be sellers? Because I actually think at this point he would. I think he's looking at that farm system, which he has been tasked with rebuilding, and realizes, yeah, we're going to have to make some tough choices over the course of the next month. And you should hold out hope that things turn around. There's still a month, I guess.
Well,
they're still playing some bad teams. This is just the first of three games against the White Sox.
You're right.
But when you're 10 games out of first and you're pretty far under 500, it really feels like this hill's at a grade incline that's too much for you.
Well, yeah, I think he would. And that should be one of the reasons why you hire Dana Brown, too. It's not just by not promoting within and not, you know, a Luno, a click guy, or someone who's just been in the organization, not going with Aaron Boone, you know, who has been rumored for multiple jobs in the Astros in the past. Bringing an outside perspective like Dana Brown should actually be a very good thing for this franchise. Because when things are tough, he's just going to have a fresh perspective of, hey, this isn't – I know what you guys have done. I know what this player, Alex Bregman, has done for this franchise, what he's meant to this city. But we're not going to win anything this year. And what's best for this franchise is to move on. And the way you guys have operated in the past can't work anymore. So that's what Dana Brown should be doing. And I would tend to agree that that's what he's thinking. Now, he could be handcuffed still. You know, he could say, I want to trade Justin Verlander. I want to trade Alex Bregman. I want to trade Framber Valdez. If Kyle Tucker's agent's not going to come to the table and even have a real negotiation, maybe we should consider that too, if we're not going to be able to get a deal done. The question is, that we'll never get the answer to until Dana Brown one day gets fired, is Jim Crane going to stop all of that? That would be my biggest concern with the Astros, is that Alex Bregman's legacy as an Astro is the good of that is outweighed for the best of the future of this baseball team if this season continues in the trajectory it's at.
A month from now, I think they're going to have a completely different view of things. But right now, they are looking at this season through hopeful lenses. Do you need more proof of that? Well, Dana Brown was on the Astros flagship earlier today. It's time for us to determine whether or not we're down with what Dana Brown is selling. You down with Dana B?
This ball club's too good.
You down with Dana B?
He's pretty much given me the steering wheel and said, hey, this is your gig.
You down with Dana B?
These guys have been out for so much of the season that it feels like we're acquiring two new players.
I guess we'll see. Here's what Dana Brown had to say on the Astros flagship earlier this morning. The sense of urgency is there, but we have to get on one of those roles that I keep talking about. Joe George, you buying what Dana Brown is selling? I will say I am buying that they have to get on one of those roles, that's for sure.
Yes, I also buy that they have to do what he's been selling us nonsense of for the last 3 months.
Is there a sense of urgency, though? Last night,
it didn't look like
they seemed angry. Does anger lead to urgency? Like, hate leads to the dark side of the force?
I mean, urgency is not... It's not the first time that he's talked about where the Astros players or a spot have talked about urgency. If you haven't got to the urgency yet, then it ain't coming. You're 10 games back. Like, that's what you were waiting for? Was for it to say you're 10 games out of first place?
I do kind of like the self-referential, like, the one that I keep talking about. Like, yeah. You know, I'm always here talking about how they're going to go on a run. We need to start doing it.
It was kind of like a self-admittance of, like, I keep saying a lot of things that are not true.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a wink to the camera of, like, you know how I'm always saying we're going to go on a run? It's also a very, very sly way to be like, hey, it's up to them now. Like, they're making me look stupid.
Fair point, Sean. Dana Brown on the Astros flagship this morning. Ultimately, we need to cut this lead in half by the end of July. Then I can see this club getting on a roll. We have to cut it in half by the end of July. We have to.
I love the quote.
Yeah. I appreciate Leiva capitalizing the halves. So
I want to go back and listen to how did he say this?
Are you buying or selling that they need to cut this lead in half by the end of July?
They have to.
They have to.
That. I think they have to get further than in half.
So to me, this is actually kind of what I feel like how we started the segment was, this feels like a subliminal message of, if we don't do this, we're selling. Like, we have to buy. We have to do this.
Have to.
You have to.
Have to.
Hopefully.
I know. We will be 5 games back at the start of August, I hope.
Yeah. Good luck with that, but they have to. I buy that because he's right. Like, if you want to trade away prospects and be irresponsible for the future of your franchise, go for it. Like, that's your decision. We'll stop talking about you in 2 years when you're completely irrelevant because you'll be the worst team in baseball. If you're going to buy though at the deadline, you have to be within reasonable striking distance to do so. It would be so irresponsible to be 8 games out of the wild card and 12 games out of the division and be like, yeah, we're trading for 2 starters.
Yeah, at a certain point, like, you have to prove that you're worth buying in on this team. Like, right now, especially last night, they have not proven that this team is worth betting on.
Well, I mean, you guys are clearly terrible gamblers. I think the Astros should go all in.
I lost money last night, so.
Yeah, exactly. See, what do you know?
Well, see, I've made about $1,000 this year on the White Sox.
Ooh.
Because they are notorious for blowing leads, so I just keep betting the other team when they're, like, down by 3 against the White Sox.
And the White Sox take a lead.
I've been doing that the whole season. I've been making, like, a lot of money doing it. The Astros ruined it last night.
You faded them last night, and you got bitten the keister, right?
Yeah.
And that's because you didn't show any faith in the Houston Astros.
No, I bet on the Astros to come back and win last night.
I mean, you didn't show faith in the Astros finding a way to lose another game.
Yeah.
Yeah. You didn't have any faith. More from Dana Brown. You buying or selling what he has to say? When asked if they are counting on Luis Garcia and Lance McCullers, both Garcia and McCullers have postseason experience. Yeah, we're cool. Counting on them. They're veterans coming back. That'll be huge for us. Do you buy or sell that it'll be huge for them to get Luis Garcia and Lance McCullers back?
Well, you better do what you said in the previous quote. You better cut your lead in half. Because I don't care if they come back if you're this far out. It does nothing for you. Cool, they have postseason experience. Maybe next year when Lance won't be healthy again.
Hey, like, that's not cool, dude.
I hope Lance is healthy.
I don't know. It doesn't sound like you do.
I do. I love
Lance. Why are your fingers crossed while you're saying, I hope Lance is healthy next year?
Because it doesn't happen. I mean, look, if you want to lecture, like, you can join the Will Kunkel trade and lecture Astros fans on how to fan, like he's been doing.
I actually agree with Kunkel, though, when it comes to the way that McCullers gets treated. I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah, but then he did the same thing about Maldi yesterday, so it's just going to be his new, like, calling card. I think that Astros fans are too mean, which they probably are.
I mean, they are. They've made Dusty Baker quit. We'd still have Dusty Baker here if not for Astros fans.
I think Jim Cray fired him.
No, he retired.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, some of us believe what the Astros tell us.
Yeah, James Gluck willingly left, too.
And
he did.
And Justin Verlander's going to pitch tomorrow. And Kyle Tucker's going to play 2 weeks ago. And
Jordan Alvarez might be back from the excused family absence yesterday. I will say it's not going to be huge for them, the return of Luis Garcia and Lance McCullers, because I feel like you're at that point where those guys aren't going to help you that much, especially if you're looking for them to be your trade deadline acquisitions, which I bet Dana Brown will push once it actually happens, seeing as he already has pushed that. Yeah, it's going to be like getting two guys at the trade deadline. One last thing from Dana Brown. Are you buying or selling what Dana Brown had to say? If it makes sense to go get a starter, then we'll do it. If it makes sense to add a big bat in the middle of the order, we'll do it. But as is, with Garcia and McCullers coming back, I feel this team can get to the playoffs. You buying or selling that this team can get to the playoffs?
Sell, I think at this point officially for me. That quote makes me giggle because it's the same as the quote that's in the intro that you keep talking about. That post-trade deadline when they don't do anything, they don't buy or sell, they just stay pat to miss the playoffs. What Dana Brown's going to be talking about is acquiring Garcia McCullers at the trade deadline. And at this point, I just can't wait to see your reaction when he says it.
I mean, it's already happened. I've accepted what's coming. I've accepted it.
It's like so obvious that it's going to happen.
I'm at peace.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm at peace right now.
Yeah. This is, again, whatever. Like, this is quotes like this is why we have this segment.
Yeah.
This is exactly what I expect from Dana Brown. So, no, I'm not down with it. I'm not – go back to the Altuve anger scale. Zero anger. Because this is what he does. This is what he does.
Because, like, the beginning, like we have to cut our lead in half by the end of July.
Yeah.
And then to go at some point in an interview to go, we can still make the playoffs. I still believe they can make the playoffs. Like, God, stop.
I mean, they can if they cut their lead in half by July. But also – it's not gonna. Well, like, what are we talking about? It's not gonna happen. I mean, just like their postseason success. Great, they're not gonna have to use it this year. They're gonna have a postseason off.
It is Golan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, and that is Down with Dana Brown. Are you buying or selling what the Astros general manager has to say? Coming up next. If you have any thoughts on the Houston Astros and whether they should be a seller at the trade deadline, they are welcome to the table. And okay. Things aren't going so well for the Astros, but C.J. Stroud keeps on proving that he's one of the greatest leaders in the history of the United States of America. You'll hear why next. Golan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is Golan and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Got a question from YouTube at ESPN Houston. Michael A20 asks, will it come as a surprise if the Astros move on from Joe Espada? Do they need to make the playoffs in order for him to keep his job? We also have on the Twitch from a couple of different watchers, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Pinche says a spot is entering dangerous territory, falling behind by double digits. Grinding on Coffee and Whiskey says Espada is one and done. Shrimpo Dana says Espada shouldn't make it past the All-Star break. I am again going to say that this is not Espada's fault, but it does feel very likely that he is the next fall guy made. By the All-Star break would be really something, though. I don't know if it's going to happen that quickly.
No, it just doesn't really happen that way. You have a lot. They're one and done is becoming more of a norm in sports. We saw the latest one just happen with Monty Williams. Got a $95 million contract, and the Pistons canned him after a year. You saw you know, the Broncos, the Texans, like multiple teams have fired coaches after 1 year.
It's the American dream if you're a coach to get fired after 1 year. Good for Monty Williams. I mean, his wife had cancer and he was going to sit out that season and they paid him how much was it? 8 years. Was it 80? Was it $100
million? I know he's getting $65 million, according to Woj, to go away.
And there's, I think, 6 years left on his contract?
Something like that.
I don't know what the NBA rules are, if he has to apply for jobs to keep on getting those checks, but I mean, yeah. Good for him.
He came in for 1 year, lost 68 games, got $65 million on the way out.
Well, I'm really happy for Monty Williams.
I do want that life.
So. I would love it. We all would. It's the American dream.
Shout out to Jimbo Fisher.
To get paid and absolutely do nothing. You're right. Shout out to Jimbo Fisher.
Jimbo did have to do a lot of work. Like, Monty only had to work for a year.
That's true. And he was recruiting. There's NIL. Like, Jimbo worked for that money. But Espada, I mean, he's going to be made the fall guy. Just going to what was asked. All-star break? Man, that's not going to wake this team up. If they do it, I suppose it's not completely impossible, but I think it's highly unlikely that he is gone by then.
Yeah, I would just be stunned if it happens this offseason.
This regular season.
I mean, this regular season. It's most likely going to happen the offseason.
Offseason, I would think so, yes.
But the most interesting part, like, I always go back to these stories that we got from Bob Nightingale and others that, like, this one here is from November 5th of last year. Astros GM Dana Brown pushing for Joe Espada to be promoted to manager of the team. Crane wanted a bigger name or someone with more name recognition out there. So if Joe Espada is the fall guy, I do kind of wonder still if there's backlash to Dana Brown as well. Of Jim Crane goes, well, I told you to go, you know, get a big name, and then you got me Joe, and this is look what's happened to this team. So My gut tells me it's just Espada that gets fired at the end of the season and that they go get, you know, like Terry Francona if he's really going to come out of retirement after just one off season or one full season. But I don't think Joe Espada will be the manager of the Astros in 2025. Someone's going to have to take the blame. And they're not going to blame Bagwell. And he's really not at fault anymore. Bray's gone. Sorry, I said his name. He who shall not be named.
Put a dollar in the jar.
Is no longer here. Montero, terrible, whatever. Brantley was last year. They're not going to blame Bagwell. He's part of the inner committee. They're going to blame Espada. And I don't think he'll be the manager of the Astros in 2025 unless they pull off a miracle.
Knowing Jim Crane, he'll probably try to get a big name. It would be fun to get Terry Francona, as someone who loved Terry Francona when he was in Boston. That feels like the next move.
Yeah.
Is that actually going to do anything to make the Astros better on the field? Probably not, and it will be very interesting to see what they do by the trade deadline. So we're talking about leadership here. Obviously, Joe Espada as a leader, not his fault the Astros are playing poorly, in my opinion, but he's certainly not helping in any way, shape, or form, even with his ejection yesterday. CJ Stroud, though, he's helping the kids. It's time for a deep steel blue pill, baby. Hit me!
Little blue pills can take 30 minutes to get you ready for excitement.
So that's why we're giving you a big, deep, steel blue pill.
You take the blue pill, believe whatever you want.
Get it up for the Texans and take this deep, steel blue pill.
And by the way, she'll like it too.
Texans Lord!
CJ Stroud, man of the people, had a football camp for the kids. Terrell Owens was there for some reason. He even talked with Cal McNair a little bit. Texans? Mm-hmm. CJ Stroud might be the most important human being in the city of Houston and continues to earn all of the flowers thrown his way, not just because of his football ability, but because of the lessons he's teaching the future of our country. Did you see what CJ Stroud told the kids to say at that football camp? Here it is.
How y'all doing? All the kids, on the count of three, I want y'all to say thank you to y'all parents. On the count of three, say thank you. One, two, three.
Valuable life lessons. Mm. Because the parents of those kids are the reason that those kids got to go to the CJ Stroud football camp.
That's also the reason why they're alive.
That's true, too.
Speaking of, I'm a bad son.
Happy birthday, son.
Happy birthday, Dad. It was yesterday. I missed it.
Ooh.
And I know he was listening to the show yesterday because we were talking about the bald hair segment.
Oh, no.
And I was like, I missed that one.
Oh.
Yeah. So.
If it makes you feel any
better. Sorry, Pops.
I always used to be confused whether or not my dad was born on June 9th or June 10th. And every year I would get it wrong.
Okay, here's the thing. Without Facebook, I don't know where I'd be at with some of these things.
Just say June 9th every time. Just act like it's June 9th. And then you're early.
Yeah.
If anything, you're early.
It is on June 9th. So this year,
June 8th.
Nailed it. But my dad was also annoyed that I called him at 6 p.m. on Sunday, June 9th.
Why? Was it too late in the day?
It was too late in the day, apparently. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, was he eating dinner or... He was just upset with the timing or just took
He was on his way to dinner, and I think he thought that I had forgotten about his birthday. I actually didn't. Mm. I just was dealing with a lot of things that Sunday.
You just didn't get there in time.
No, I just didn't do it early enough for him. Yeah. So I made it up for him.
That sounds selfish. Yeah.
Kiss my ass. For Father's Day, I got him 2 bottles of Belvedere vodka. That's his favorite vodka.
I mean, you sound like a great son.
I do sound like a great son?
Yeah, you do.
I don't. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm the best son there is.
Those are great gifts.
The child arrived just the other day. Came to the world in a usual way. Yeah. So it happens.
It does, getting parents' birthday.
Sure.
Yeah. Yep.
It is tough because they're both, but more so Joe's dad, really close to Father's Day.
A lot of times my dad's birthday is on Father's Day.
Yeah. So
I'm
assuming this year, I'm not making excuses for you. That's Dana Brown's job.
No, I said happy birthday to him in person, but I told him I would say it on
You let down your guard.
Yeah.
I got gotcha.
Yeah. Yep.
Hell yeah.
You think the job's finished.
CJ Stroud, leader of the future. He is the most important person in this city right now.
Most important athlete. Jose Altuve ain't turning this thing around. Altuve's not even getting calls from umpires. Yeah. They're persecuting him. Despite his 5'6" frame, they're calling balls that are clearly outside of the zone strikes. Yep. Get out of here.
Because if we're wrong about CJ, and they suck this year, oh, boy, it's going to be a long year, boys. We need the Texans to be good.
How dare you open that possibility up? How dare you?
I'm just telling you what the people are thinking.
Well, no, that's just the Twitch. Twitch just hates the Texans for literally no reason.
Oh, that's because we're not Texans fans.
I don't understand how people can be so down on the team after what they did last year. I really don't.
Oh, I don't either.
Certainly there were some moments where, yeah, they got a little lucky for sure, and they had an easy schedule. If you're hating on them now, you're hating on them for the sake of hating on them. And hey, I've done that before myself. I rooted against Rory McIlroy on Sunday.
Because that worked out well for you.
Because he's Northern Irish. I had no legitimate reason. He's from Northern Ireland, the Protestant part of our island.
CJ Stroud, leader of men.
Leader of men. He's teaching valuable lessons.
CJ Stroud does a 23andMe. Or is it 23andMe? Is that the...
Yeah, that's one of them. Yeah.
Yeah. He does a 23andMe, and he finds out that he's like 5% Northern Ireland.
Oh, no. That's a good question. What would you do?
Then what?
There's no way he would. I mean, you see what's coming out of Northern Ireland? Rory McIlroy's their best athlete. Rory McIlroy.
I don't know another thing that's coming out of Northern Ireland.
Persecution of Catholics, that's for sure. Thou shalt honor your father and mother. CJ Stroud teaching the kids the fourth commandment. There you go. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can join us on Twitch, youtube.com/ESPN Houston, twitch.tv/ESPN 97.5. We're 78 days away from the start of the NFL season and an all-time shot fired from one NFL owner to another has us wondering, who would it be easier to be a fan of? Galan and George, stick around.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Paul Gallant and Joe George.
We are 78 days away from the start of the NFL season. I don't think there's any debate on who the best number 78 is in NFL history. Well, Bill O'Brien might say that to justify trading 2 first-round picks for Laremy Tunsil. He did, after all, say that Laremy Tunsil is one of the greatest left tackles ever on that podcast interview that he did, now the head coach of Boston College. But no, this is Bruce Smith getting a sack in Super Bowl 25.
Second and 10 from the 6-yard line. Hostetler under heat. Sack for the safety. Bruce Smith.
Al Michaels has been at it for a while.
Crazy.
Electric call.
More electric than the Thursday night offerings on Amazon.
That was for a safety, too, in the Super Bowl.
He let it breathe. I mean, the camera zooms in on Bruce Smith, who did a hell of a dance after that sack for a safety. The Bills, of course, lost that game because Scott Norwood missed the potential game-winning field goal, the New York Giants Super Bowl 25 champions.
Oh, Buffalo Bills.
Smith had 200 sacks from 1985 to 2003. The best Houston number 78, also not Laramie Tunsil, Joe George. It's Curly Culp, who played for the Oilers from 1974 to 1980.
Yeah, I focus on Texans history.
Okay.
Not Titans history.
I am wearing an Oilers t-shirt today. Culp, who passed away a couple of years ago, was the defensive player of the year in 1975. And from Pearland, honorable mention, Anthony Munoz. The NFL Sunday ticket trial, which could still be dismissed, is ongoing. And as we continue to see transcripts from court, Jerry Jones, owner of the Dallas Cowboys, took a shot at Mike Brown, owner of the Cincinnati Bengals, when asked about the NFL's broadcast model and if teams should maybe go to a every single team gets its own TV deal model. Quote, I am convinced I would make a lot more money than the Bengals. I'm completely against each team doing TV deals. It is flawed. He and Mike Brown have had a long-standing feud over revenue sharing. Question I have, because Jerry Jones is right. The Cowboys would make a ton of money if they had a deal just for them. The Bengals, even with Joe Burrow, probably wouldn't. But who would you rather be a fan of in 2024? The Dallas Cowboys or the Cincinnati Bengals?
Bengals. Joe Burrow.
Did you say that so quickly, though?
It's easy. It's Joe Burrow.
How is it easy when they're in the AFC North and there's the Ravens and there's the definitely better this year Steelers and there's the Cleveland Browns in that division, especially given Joe Burrow's injury history?
I know, but when's the last time the Cowboys went to a Super Bowl?
I understand that argument. Do you think that the Bengals are going to make a Super Bowl this year, though?
No, but I don't think the Cowboys will either. Because Joe Burrow's the quarterback, I think you have a better chance to every single year. You have Ja'Marr Chase, who I like more than CeeDee Lamb. I think it's close. It's not crazy, the distance between the two of them. Obviously, Micah Parsons better defensively than anything Cincinnati has. But I'd just rather be a Bengals fan than a Cowboys fan.
I think I would rather be a Cowboys fan this year from this perspective. NFC East, wide open. I feel like even though they didn't do much this offseason, you still feel pretty good about their chances to win that division. The NFC, not very loaded. I mean, the AFC's got so many quarterbacks. I actually think that there is a higher ceiling for the Cowboys this year than the Bengals. And that's nothing against Joe Burrow. That's nothing against the Bengals. For this year, I would pick the Cowboys.
Yeah, I get your viewpoint on that just because the NFC is so much easier.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's easier to make the playoffs and then go far in the playoffs. Although for the Cowboys, it doesn't really matter who else is in the conference. They won't go that far in the playoffs. But I do agree with Joe that as far as winning a Super Bowl this year, I think the Bengals have a better chance of winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, maybe when Bill Belichick is the head coach of the Cowboys next year, I'll feel different.
Yeah, exactly. But for right now, it's like we've already seen how close they can get to winning a Super Bowl.
Yeah, they're the only team. The only guy to beat Mahomes in the AFC.
Yeah, that's true.
They are Brady is Burrow. Yeah.
They are the one team that seems to give the Chiefs fits.
Yeah.
So we'll see this year. I just think it's an easier path for Dallas, but I would not pick them to win the Super Bowl.
You have a higher likelihood of this season being like, okay, pretty good year for the Cowboys because they're probably going to make the playoffs just by waking up and being better than the Giants.
Yeah. Well, that's not hard. Giants are a joke.
John Gruden, back in the news.
Oh, no.
Not for good reasons.
No, not for good stuff.
Before the 2021 draft, Gruden asked now Miami Dolphin Javon Holland this question in a Zoom interview. Are you going to change your name to Malcolm X?
Hey, Javon, are you going to change your name to Malcolm X when you get into the league?
I mean, the hits keep coming for that guy. They instead drafted Alex Leatherwood instead of Javon Holland. Holland went in the second round. Alex Leatherwood with the 17th pick. Holland went number 36 to the Miami Dolphins. It seems Gruden was not convinced by the answer that Javon gave that he would not change his name to Malcolm X upon entry in the NFL.
The stories we get out of the combine interviews are always so. You got players being asked like if their moms are prostitutes, stuff like this. Like I don't understand what runs through the minds of these coaches and staff members when they ask these questions.
I don't either. Robert Holland, the father of Javon Holland, shared this story. So this isn't even coming from Javon Holland, who kept it to himself in a DolphinsTalk.com podcast episode. Because he, I guess, was there for the Zoom, Joe. And what happened was he got mad when Javon got asked that question. But Javon put his hand up and said, I use my platform to speak for those people who can't speak. And I'm only speaking for good. And if I'm not the kind of guy who you perceive as speaking for good or doing something wrong, maybe I shouldn't be part of your organization. And he hung up on Gruden.
Good for him.
That's a good answer.
Good for him.
Good move, too. But it might have cost him some dollars.
Yeah, didn't get him drafted.
Not a first-round pick. Second-round pick instead.
I mean, John Gruden was the coach for the Raiders for, what, like another 6 months?
Yeah, yeah.
like he got fired pretty soon after that.
Yeah. What a time.
John Gruden. I think he's still in the middle of his lawsuit, too.
A lawsuit that we have not seen nearly enough details of, because I really want to see more transcripts of what these guys are saying.
Well, the NFL tried to dismiss it, and I know that they lost that. Mm-hmm. But, like, this is good for probably the NFL's case here. Just be like, hey, like, you know, I know his emails got leaked when we were technically investigating someone else, but this is the kind of guy this is.
Did we want this guy in the NFL? Wonder what John Gruden would have thought about this story. The Buffalo Bills have started a gay flag football league, the National Gay Flag Football League. I've been asked if I will join this league. I have no comment at this time.
I don't think you're gay, right? But the first thing I thought of when I saw this was you.
I was asked the question. I have a funny story that has nothing to do with me, actually. One of my buddies, he played on a softball team, and it's a gay softball league.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's one of the few straight guys in the league.
Yeah.
And there's a straight limit. You're okay. Only allowed to have two straights per team.
If I was willing, I got offered to be in a similar situation.
Wow. You guys have been propositioned by a lot of gay men.
There's a gay Chicago rugby team, like local rugby team. And they also have a straight limit on their team.
Interesting.
Gay rugby is so much fun. Dude, these guys are...
Like, it's one of my, like, he's a good buddy of mine. He's, like, looks like a bodybuilder. He's jacked. This, the whole team is. It's so funny. But, yeah, they also had a straight limit, and they asked me if I was interested. I passed.
Okay.
Physically couldn't handle it anymore.
How did they investigate the straight limit?
You just ask kindly.
No, but, I mean,
you could lie.
I guess it's not worth gaming the system.
Yeah. I mean, just like in the movie, I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry. Would somebody steal valor to be a part of this league? And you're asking, would I do that if I could play in a league?
I mean, is it
I have no comment on this
Yeah, let's
time.
See what these checks
yeah,
are
so
like.
Yeah, so are you getting paid for this?
If I got paid, I would have no comment at this time.
Yeah.
Or going forward.
Yeah.
But I will do what needs to be done. Unrelated to this flag football league, Travis Kelce takes at least 3 hours to pick his game day outfits.
Dude.
Told that in the podcast.
What's taking so long?
He's got to be lying, right?
Maybe he's ironing it.
Yeah, is he counting all the time that it takes to...
Like, he literally just stares at his closet for 3 hours to pick something?
There's no way.
There's probably, you know, he's got to ask Taylor Swift what she thinks about it.
Now, that's what I wonder now. Like, does it take 3 hours to, you know, look, Taylor's busy.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they're in a lovely relationship, it might take 2 hours to hear a response from Taylor Swift.
Oh, so he's just waiting for a text.
He's
back.
Waiting for approval,
and so he has to wake up at 6 a.m. to start this process.
Yeah, I assume he would do this on like Saturday, like Friday or Saturday,
has to be.
Right?
Has to be.
How long does it take you to get dressed in the morning?
Well, it depends. I mean, do I look hot? Am I giving a bleep?
It's a normal day.
It's a normal day. Probably about like 30 to 45 minutes.
Yeah. You just have to find matching clothes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, got to look hot.
Sean, how long does it take you to pick out your bandana for the day when you wear it?
Like 30 seconds.
Okay.
It's so quick.
There's not like a thought process behind the Taco Bell one versus a different one.
No, it's just, you know, you don't want to go like, you don't want to mix colors that much. So,
yeah.
You know, if it's going to be mostly a black outfit, then maybe something either the black or the gray. It's
going to
be more colorful, maybe more colorful.
The show needs to color coordinate more. Okay. You guys got to get on my level.
Would I just explain not color coordination?
Yeah, that doesn't, I mean, it, oh, it's black? Oh wow, I'm just going to match with black?
The black one does go with everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, not if I was wearing a shirt like Paul's, it wouldn't.
Good point.
That's also a good
point. Gotta learn how to color coordinate, guys.
Good point.
I thought you were colorblind.
I am.
You are?
That's why I have a lot of black and grays.
You're colorblind?
Yes.
Fully colorblind? Or just
not
like
fully.
Greens?
Yeah. Greens and reds.
So,
yeah.
So when they did that Color Rush game a couple years ago between the Bills and the Jets?
Said. That's the first thing that everyone mentioned. Yes, it was hard to watch.
Better watch out, middle management, Joe. Sean Mapes, you can't fire him for anything.
You're right. Also
I have a lawsuit on me. You'll be the John Gruden of Houston Radio. Look at his email.
I'm pretty sure someone else will have that title.
Who is the John Gruden of Houston Sports Radio? I'm just kidding. Up next.
Who's been fired recently?
713-780-3776 to call, to text. Wow, Joe. Up next. Okay. A lot of hype about the Houston Texans this offseason, but we finally got somebody who's doubting them, which I'm sure that Twitch wants to hear about. Stick around. You'll hear why next. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
A lot of praise for the Houston Texans this offseason. But we have seen some people push back on that praise. Jason Braddock, before he left the industry altogether, said that he's getting a little bit tired of hearing the Houston Texans bravado. Joe George, I know, has co-signed that to a degree.
Yes.
Not an extreme degree.
But pretty close.
But you're a little annoyed by it.
Yeah, they better win.
Well, this could perhaps qualify as the national media doubting the Houston Texans. I've got a battle red pill for you guys. This one? Oh boy. Buckle up.
Heretics dare to question the Houston Texans' greatness.
How dare you?
Is it bullsh**?
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong.
Or will you take this battle red pill?
You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
ESPN rated all 32 NFL teams offseason. The Houston Texans only got a B-.
Huh.
There are only 11 teams that got a worse grade than B-. In fact, there's only 3 teams that got a D. No one got an F, which is a tad surprising.
That actually does, because this isn't like draft grades. Typically, people are a little more honest in the offseason about an NFL team because you're not beating up on some kid who just achieved his dream. So I'm surprised to see no Fs.
C is satisfactory. D gets degrees, but it's not good. F means failure. I don't understand why people don't have the chutzpah, cojones, to fail an offseason or fail a draft anymore.
I wonder what fail an offseason. Like, they don't have a team anymore.
The
like,
Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, I would give the Dallas Cowboys.
They said that they were all in, and all they have done is lose Tony Pollard and lose Tyron Smith.
And they haven't solved any of their problems where they have Micah Parsons, Dak Prescott, and CeeDee Lamb all becoming free at the exact same time. Like, they haven't extended any of those guys yet.
It's nuts.
I would still give the Atlanta Falcons an F. Like they lost draft picks to do what? To sign Kirk Cousins and draft a quarterback? They turned down a 4th-round pick in the NFL draft, in the 2025 NFL draft. For what reason? It was the Bears who were trying to move from 9 to 8 to draft Adunze. They turned down a 4th-round pick. The Bears weren't going to take Penix. You idiots. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I put both those teams in the F category. Easily.
Okay.
Here's, surprises me.
Here is the reasoning that ESPN gave the Houston Texans a B-. It's because they restructured Stephon Diggs' contract into a one-year deal. Further, writing from ESPN, the trade of pick 42 for Diggs was an easy win. But on the surface, the move was made defensible given Houston's timeline. But when the Texans agreed to give Diggs a pay raise and shorten his contract to a one-year deal, it became an expensive move for a one-year rental. So really the big issue that they have after crediting the Houston Texans for earning a second-round pick to move from 23 to 42 in the draft is that they traded a second-round pick for a one-year rental of Diggs.
You could sell me on that. That was not the wisest of moves to make. Because the Minnesota Vikings could be one of the worst teams in the NFL next year. And you could have just given the Buffalo Bills the 35th pick in the NFL draft, to which Stephon Diggs is going to leave. You're not going to keep him. And you might have been able to use that draft pick for the future. At the same time, they chose to go all in. I understand why they did it. I still like the trade. I prefer the one-year deal. So that's why I disagree with this part of giving them a B-minus grade. I'd rather have Stephon Diggs here fully motivated for one season than have him here for the long term.
It would have been hard to extend Nico Collins if you did not give him a one-year deal, if you did not change the deal to a one-year deal. Could have been done, certainly, but this definitely made it easier, and it makes more sense to give Nico Collins the extension than Stephon Diggs, especially considering that the Bills started winning when Stephon Diggs was involved less in Buffalo's offense.
Yeah, because I think that's more a reflection of Josh Allen. If I'm wrong and it's more a reflection of Stephon Diggs, then you only want him here for a year, and it's a good thing you got, it's a good thing you did this. Not yet, but you gave up a lot of draft capital in theory to do it.
I think we have to brace for the possibility that Stephon Diggs at this point in his career is closer to where Odell Beckham Jr. was after a few years from being everyone's favorite wide receiver and perhaps the most recognizable non-quarterback in the NFL. Eventually, he became a okay wide receiver with a big name. I don't know if Diggs is there yet, but this is something that you should be bracing for. And look at the Diggs that, look at the deal that Beckham got last year with the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, he was overpaid. It was $15 million or so. Diggs are getting $20 million for this season. There is a chance, again, that Diggs is not this guy anymore.
It's okay, because the difference is...
you got two more guys.
Exactly. Then what did Baltimore have? They have Mark Andrews, great tight end. But you're talking about Rashad Bateman, DuVernay.
Right.
Zay Flowers.
Yeah.
We like Zay Flowers. He's a great player. But Tank Dell, Nico Collins, Dalton Schultz are going to be a really good core of pass catchers. Whatever Diggs gives you is sprinkles on top of the sun. So even if he's not great, you don't need him to be. He can be your third best wide receiver this year, and you could still be one of the best offenses in the NFL.
Do you know what they call sprinkles up in Massachusetts?
No.
Jimmies.
Jimmies?
I have no idea why. Call them Jimmies.
Let me get some Jimmies.
Hey, Ken, can I get some Jimmies on that raspberry lime Ricky, dude?
Would you ever do you ever did that for a summer? Worked at an ice cream shop?
No, I did not.
I did not either. That seems like a miserable job.
No. Really?
Yeah.
Why does it seem miserable?
I feel like people,
you just want to eat the ice
cream. He'd eat the ice cream.
Yeah, man. You want to be extra fat. But also, a lot of crying kids. As someone with the kid, you go to a marble slab, if it's a long line, there's typically kids throwing tantrums there. Not a great experience.
Also, probably not a lot of kids taking no very well for an answer.
Yep.
But when they get the ice cream, I would imagine it shuts them up real
quick.
Yes,
but if you're not moving quickly through the line, you got kids back there crying. You don't want that.
From the Twitch, Stephon Diggs low-key on a prove-it deal. No, he is on a prove-it deal. If he plays good, he'll get a new contract. I'm sure of it. I don't believe that.
He'll get a new contract.
Not here.
Yeah, well, no, but not here, but he'll get a new contract.
There is something I've wondered whether or not it would have been better to try to trade for Brandon Ayuk on a one-year rental, especially after he told Jaden Daniels, quarterback for the Commanders, that the 49ers don't want him. I think Ayuk would have made a lot of sense here, and Slowik obviously has got a great deal of familiarity coming over from San Francisco to the Texans with Ayuk, how to best use him. Ayuk's really good at getting open. That move honestly might have made more sense even without the extension, but I don't know if they would have been able to do it for a second-round pick.
Well, but it's not the second-round pick. The question would be, would you rather have Stephon Diggs on a one-year deal and Kamari Lassiter? Or would you have rather just taken the 23rd overall pick in the NFL draft and just traded that to the 49ers for Ayuk? Like, I'm with you.
You'd also need to give Ayuk a new deal.
Yeah, because that second-round pick is what you got from moving out at 23. So, it's, do you like Lassiter and Diggs, or would you rather have Ayuk?
With everything I'm hearing about Lassiter right now, Lassiter and Diggs.
I think I kind of lean the same way.
Because you don't have a cornerback, too.
Yeah, because I want to be with you. Like, having Ayuk here would have been awesome. But for what we thought versus what we're hearing now, we'll see what training camp looks like. They might have solved one of their biggest problems in the draft with that 42nd pick.
That is on the table. What would you rather have? Lassiter and Diggs or Brandon Ayuk? Because do we really want to talk about the Houston Astros? 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can join us on Twitter at Gallant Says, at Joe George Radio, at Sean A. Mapes, or on YouTube at ESPN Houston, twitch.tv/ESPN975. If you do want to talk about the Astros, I'm just going to highlight a lot of reasons why it's time to start thinking about the most cost-effective way to watch them the rest of this year. First, let me tell you about my friends at Pendleton Whiskey. I love this stuff. Pendleton Whiskey is so damn good for so many reasons, but the main reasons, it's because of what it's made with. First off, you've got the finest northern grains. It is cut with glacier water from Oregon's Mount Hood. It's barrel-aged in American oak. Altogether, comes out amber, smooth, not too sweet, refreshing. It's a really good summer whiskey. I like to put it in my coffee from time to time. Nice iced coffee with a little kick in it. But also, when I get that Pendleton whiskey, sometimes I'm just having it neat. One big old rock, two fingers worth of that delicious goodness that helps me satisfy my inner cowboy. You could do the same. You can go to Pendleton Whiskey's website to see all the different bottles that they have to offer, or to check out the many cocktails you can make with Pendleton Whiskey. It's Pendleton Whiskey. Satisfy your inner cowboy. It's true Western tradition.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.